Hello and welcome to Answer Me This. Thank you for listening.
If you've just heard some ads, please know we do not control which commercials you get to hear.
But now they're done, here is an episode of Answer Me This. Hello and welcome to Answer Me This. Thank you for listening.
If you've just heard some ads, please know we do not control which commercials you get to hear.
But now they're done, here is an episode of Answer Me This.
Why is anyone surprised that boxers got a bit fighty?
Answer me this, answer me this.
Why are Anglo-French relations up and down like a bride's nighty?
Answer me this, Helen and Ollie, answer me this.
Hello listeners, we did promise you Jackie Mason in this episode, and there will be Jackie Mason.
And he's coming up on the show. He's going to be here later, but first we're going to do some other stuff.
Yeah, including some complaints.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is from Kofi, who says, are you really as stupid as you make out?
Do you mean, Helen, answer me this, are you really as stupid as you mean to make out?
I'm actually more stupid than I make out, Kofi. Or is this done purely for entertainment value?
Don't make us expose our methods.
Did you honestly not know, this is his reason for complaint, that the legal age for the purchase of cigarettes is 18 and not 16?
I honestly did not know. And you know why? Firstly, I'm 31.
That's
this does
right.
not affect me. Secondly, I don't smoke. This does not affect me. Carry on with your wrath.
Yeah, basically, we're so old that when we were 16, the legal age for smoking in this country was 16, and we assume that was still the case. We're so old, Kofi.
That babies came out of the womb smoking a cheroot.
Was that true? Was it 16?
It was 16. I can't remember. But the thing is, Kofi, when you get to a certain age, our stage of life, you just don't care anymore. You don't observe these things. We can fuck and vote and get a gun license and watch Pulp Fiction all day and no one's going to stop
us. And we don't care that you can't.
That's right. But Kofi has another beef.
Oh.
Yeah. With our lovely Skype song by Martin White. I don't think anyone could hate that.
Oh.
But he says, of all the literally millions of free things one can do using the internet, why choose filing a tax return? Self-assessment can be quite costly.
Oh, I know. I've been self-employed since 2005. This is a literary device, Kofi, that we like to call litotes, which is the opposite of hyperbole, i.e. you choose underwhelming things for amusing / rhetorical effect.
That's right, yes. It was all for the purposes of comedy, Kofi. We weren't actually saying, here's a list of things that are free, they're all free, they're totally free, and they're the best things you can do for free. Yeah. That's not the point of a comedy song, is it?
A tax return, if you did it by paper, you'd have to pay for a stamp and an envelope.
And
very
a printout.
Expensive. Yeah.
Time for a question from Tori from the Wirral now, who says, it's a well-known fact that French people eat frog's legs.
A stereotype, if you will.
But what do they do with the rest of the frog, apart from just bin it?
They just bin it.
No, they don't. They surely hollow it out and use it as a fleshlight.
I'm not sure the French are into frog ribcage fleshlights.
Isn't that where ocarinas come from?
Or is there a board game that uses frog pieces? You know, like those ones where frogs leapfrog? You know, when you push down the legs and the... Oh, you haven't got the legs there, have you?
You
just got the torso.
Just got
no one plays
frog.
With frog torsos.
Or frog's front legs.
Right.
Are the French even into board games?
The thing is, I think the English obsession for board games amongst the middle classes is it's kind of because people are stuck for things to say to each other.
Whereas the French, they have extramarital affairs.
That's
and it's
right.
fine.
Sorry, can I just be very clear? There is a man with his sweater over his shoulder standing in the garden by a buffet with tomatoes and vinegar on it. I'm going to go over there and fuck him, if you don't mind. You play buckaroo. I'll be back in a minute.
Playing buckaroo of sorts. The thing is, with a frog's torso, it's not very meaty. The legs are all muscle. The torso is just tiny.
Could you make a soup? A nice frog.
You can make a soup out of any old carcass, can't you? That's what they always show you on those cooking shows.
Here's a question from Magnum from Edinburgh, who says, Ollie, answer me this. Why does the BBC use Roman numerals at the end of programmes to denote the year the show was made? Wouldn't it just be easier to show the year in digits? How many Romans watch the BBC anyway?
Probably about as many people as watch BBC Four. I would say,
boo.
What? What? Oh, I went there.
Oh,
yeah, BBC Four's a minority channel.
You mean BBC IV?
Okay, the real answer is they do it because it's tradition. Why is it tradition? Because the BBC's been going for a bloody long time.
Not since the Roman Empire.
No. But in the 1930s when the BBC started making TV programmes, and, you know, you've seen clips from them, the newscasters used to dress up in black tie to present the news.
Oh, the good old days. days. That's because they were all off to cocktail parties afterwards.
Exactly. It was a very formal event, television.
Yeah, they wouldn't have done high kicks on children in need, would they?
Well, they didn't have their own traditions. So they borrowed traditions from theatre for drama shows and from, well, cinema and books for everything else. So the tradition of using Roman numerals comes from publishing, doesn't it? That was traditionally in the 1930s how a book would indicate the year that it was printed. So that's what the BBC did because it seemed like the right thing to do for a formal product.
And now they can't stop themselves.
Well, now it's a tradition on the BBC, so it would be a bit weird to suddenly stop, although they did in the 1970s for a bit.
Ooh, and everything went to the dogs. The country collapsed, the three-day week, all of the strikes.
Yeah.
And they got their Roman numerals back and everyone was happy again.
Sort of, although actually a lot of the programmes that were made in that era, Open All Hours, Fawlty Towers, they're classics. Maybe they should bring the digits back and that would save BBC One mainstream comedy. I don't know. But anyway, it's basically because it's traditional. But I do wonder if really the reason is so that you can't see how old the repeats are.
Yeah, because I'm classically educated, listeners, and it's still a struggle for me. I'm like, L,
it's still,
that's 50,
still a struggle
it?
For me the to work C? Out the date of Snog, Marry, Avoid.
Well, you know, the 2008 was a good era for Snog, Marry, Avoid. God, I was watching Snog, Marry, Avoid today. That is a good show. And anyone who's written in the past, which is many of you, I'm not the voice of Pod on Snog, Marry, Avoid, but I really wish I were. I don't think it's that difficult to find out the end number of it. You know, the last digit.
Yeah,
if it
the
were
VII. Everyone knows that seven. But it's just working out what decade it is,
yeah,
isn't
exactly.
it?
Yeah, exactly. They like to keep that element of mystery.
Some are a bit like Dad's Army. I mean, that could be from any time. From I don't know when Dad's Army started, but let's say the 60s, something like that.
Yeah, the 1860s. They were gearing up for the Franco-Prussian War.
That show ran for something like 20 years. You don't really know what year you're watching. Yeah. I mean, of course, that doesn't matter now, but maybe in 1975 that was more relevant.
Yeah, I've got that with Frasier at the moment, which they're rerunning on Channel 4 in the mornings. Mm-hmm. And the only way really I can tell what era it is just how terrible people's hair is.
I read that people were writing into the ITV duty log. That's where you complain about a TV show.
Love that.
Because they had the clock wrong on Daybreak. You know, in the corner it tells you what time it is. It's because they were watching on ITV 1 plus 1. Isn't that unbelievably stupid?
Mm. Surely they're too stupid to find the duty log
and
contact it.
I think they're too stupid to pick up a phone, those people, aren't they?
Yeah, it must be made up.
Siri, complain to ITV, please.
It's like people complaining at the artist, not having words.
I think that that story is, I'm not going to be able to pronounce the word, apocryphal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because well done.
That, thank you. Because I reckon that was just a publicity thing for the art. Like, before he got all these award nominations, how do you publicise a film that's in black and white, that's made in France, that has no dialogue?
There's a cute dog.
There is a cute dog. But also, you know, it's create a press story. And with horror films, it's that people are fainting in the audience and vomiting everywhere. And with that, it's, oh, people didn't realise it was a silent film. They asked for their money back. No, they didn't.
Then everyone who goes to it can feel very sophisticated because they realised it was going to be a silent film.
Exactly. We've got a question about a different kind of film that people like to watch in silence now.
Hi, Helen and Ollie. It's Lizzie from Orpington. Answer me this. My housemate has put a porn filter on the internet and I don't know how to come and bring it up in conversation. Please tell me what to do.
I don't know whether I'm misinterpreting Lizzie's query, but does she want to bring it up in conversation because she wishes the porn filter to be removed and allow her sexual entertainment to proceed uninhibited once more?
Yes, she wants to frig herself off.
That's a very elaborate way of putting it, Helen.
Yeah. I'm dainty. Yeah.
I think that's what's happening here.
She wants a lady chuss.
It's interesting, isn't it? A novel to have a woman ask us about porn. I don't think that's ever happened before, apart from maybe in the context of my boyfriend likes porn, how do I stop him? But or, not, I'd like to watch some porn, how do I go about it?
Or, Ollie, man, will you be in a real life porn with me?
No, we never did those questions on the air. I just contacted them directly. Lizzie, what you need to do is just get some circumvention software.
Oh, really? Is it that easy?
Oh, so I hear. Basically, the way I understand that it works is you don't put it down. I mean, actually, genuinely don't have controls on my computer, so it's not an issue for
you. You have no control on your computer.
All the porn that you like.
Sorry. Yeah, Helen, I'll call you back for this business conversation later. It is the wanking hour. You don't download the software to the computer that you want to watch the porn on. So it doesn't involve dealing with the computer at home. What you do is you find a computer that's uninhibited. Like, mate, if you have a particularly liberal workplace, for example, or, you know, perhaps your parents' computer.
Yes, ideal.
And then, right. And you install the software onto that. And then this is what Chinese people do when they're avoiding the firewall, isn't it? You actually then basically look at that computer
remotely. Oh, so it's
remotely.
A proxy.
Yeah.
So does that mean that computer has to be on all the time when you want to
I'm not sure about that. I don't know how that works. Oof. I don't know. That would be an embarrassing conversation to have with your mum, wouldn't it, as well?
Maybe you should just say to your housemate, I've been trying to watch some stuff and nothing's getting through because of your filter.
Because of the clunky filters,
but yeah, exactly, because the filters block out things that aren't even pornographic. It's just certain words.
Say that you want to watch some human rights footage from Syria.
and it's a whack to it. You're awful, Ollie.
No. But if you say that, because it's quite convincing, isn't it, that an ISP would block something that Amnesty had put up, and no one's going to say anything. They're all going to say, "All right, oh God, we don't live in a dictatorship here. You can watch whatever you like."
Yeah,
that would be a really awkward conversation when someone came in to watch it, to see you beating off over what they thought was human rights atrocities.
It's like the shark attack thing in Friends, where Monica thinks that's what gets Chandler off. Or if you're really anxious to avoid having that conversation, could you not get yourself a phone or tablet with good 3G, or, you know, a dongle?
Yes, get a MiFi.
Yeah, get a MiFi, like Ollie Mann has. It's like having your own router that will allow you as much porn as you want, unfiltered, wherever
on the moon,
you are.
Have it on the night bus, you have it in the restaurant, have it in Pret-a-Manger.
Your life's never been better, has it?
That's right. Old people, do stay with us. Jackie Mason coming up later.
Here's one of life's great mysteries now. It's expressed by Evan, who says, "Ollie, answer me this. What is the pick and mix?"
Seriously?
What? Do you think Evan is a foreign person?
Maybe he's five.
He doesn't understand our references. And he's heard us mentioning pick and mix with abandon.
Yeah.
I suspect. What is this mystery?
I suspect Evan might be from the Americas.
Does he not have pick and mix there?
Well, they do, but they call it
candy fun.
Loose candy.
Oh, loose candy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's what it is, Evan. It's loose candy.
If Evan is not from the Americas, he is from perhaps a sugar-deprived household such as the one I grew up in.
In Victorian London.
Sent up the chimneys with nary a bonbon at the top to tempt me. Mm-hmm.
It's like Russell Brand's in the room.
I'm going to fuck you now. Good day. Imagine, if you will, Evan, a number of containers of sweets, and you gather a scoop and a paper bag and use the scoop to transfer your pick of the sweets into the bag, where it mixes with the other sweets. And then you take it to the counter and they charge you way over the odds for the weight of sweets.
Yeah. It's chocolate you buy with a shovel, basically. What's not to like about that?
And sour sweets.
Yeah. Actually, do you have a system?
Do I have a system?
Chocolate Brazils at the bottom.
Oh, chocolate Brazils.
Then
yes.
Lay it on top, the sours. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the cola bottles and the slightly...
Sour cherries.
Yeah. And then on top of that, the gummies.
Interesting.
That's how it works. And then when I'm in the cinema in the dark by myself.
You know.
I know that if I go to the bottom, I'm going to get the big chocolate balls. And if I go to the top, I'm going to get the little gummies.
Don't waste your time with those big gobstoppers, though. Not fun to eat.
And
very
heavy.
Going
to put the price up.
You'd be an idiot.
But if you bought a gobstopper, that would last for... My friend's got one that's lasted for 25 years.
It's passed down from generation to generation.
Yeah, basically.
If you've got a question, email your question to answermethispodcast@googlemail.com. 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 Answermethispodcast@googlemail.com.
Well, we are now off to the Wyndham's Theatre, where...
I like this drum roll. Ladies and gentlemen.
Until March the 17th, he's there with his new show, Fearless. It's...
Jackie Mason! Star of American comedy, massive stand-up legend, used to be a rabbi, he's in some films, he's performed to the Queen, and now he's answering your questions.
He's proper showbiz. How the fuck did you get an interview with him?
We cannot reveal our sources.
We've got dirt on him. Live, sort of, not live, his podcast, on Answer Me This.
Jackie Mason, thank you so much for joining us.
Why not? You got to be working for nothing. It's not easy to get a thing like this.
Welcome to the internet. Yeah. That's how it works.
I heard about the internet. I'm too intelligent to look at it because I don't like to waste my time. But for other people who have nothing to do, I think the internet is a wonderful, it's a phenomenal idea.
If you were looking for a girlfriend nowadays, do you think you'd go online?
I thank God I'm too popular to have to worry about it. It's like asking me if I was starving, what would I do to get food? There's certain things that are too remote from my personality or my needs that I never gave it a thought. I'm such a sensation that people follow me around. So you're asking me, what would I do to go find one? My problem is how to get rid of them, not how to find them.
Okay, well, I have that problem too, obviously. I was just humouring you. Now, we're backstage at the Wyndham's Theatre in London. Madonna played here, and she insisted that her dressing room was re-wallpapered.
Madonna's like a lot of sick people in this business who get so spoiled that they feel they can make any demand on anybody, and everybody's accustomed to satisfying whatever ridiculous or obnoxious demand they make. Barbara Streisand also does these ridiculous things. She only likes to have a dressing room pink before she goes on the soap. They have to repaint her dressing room into a pink color. And some of them only want a certain kind of a cookie that nobody ever heard of before.
Why didn't she just stay at home if she wants everything like that?
Well, then there's no reason for her to stay home. If I offered you $1 million to show up, are you going to stay home?
I'd think about it quite hard.
I don't think you would.
Now you're here at the Wyndhams until the 17th of March. How has London been treating you so far?
I don't know about how London was treating me, but I am treating London very well. I'm not waiting for London to treat me, because I'm treating them to an opportunity to see one of the great comedy stars of all time, and they should thank God that I show up.
Well, on that note, we've got this question from Elaine from Edgware, who says, Jackie, answer me this. Why are you retiring?
I'm retiring because I think I've done enough for people. I give them enough entertainment. It's not time for me to take a vacation. There's a limit to how much you could do for people.
What are you going to do with yourself? Won't you be a bit bored without these
exactly
demands?
That's not your business. What kind of life I'm going to be living. I'm not going to tell you everything.
Well, we're the big brother generation, Jackie. You have to understand. We expect to see you 24/7. Have you been invited on reality shows, stuff like that?
Yes, I have been invited to all these type of reality shows and all those shows where they suddenly reveal themselves, everything about their own personal life and everything about the most intimate things in their personal behavior. I think it's a preposterous trend and it's absolutely ridiculous. Just because a person is a performer, he doesn't owe it to you to let you know exactly what he does in a personal way. People who are not performers will not tell you everything about their every intimate personal habit they have. There's certain things you keep to yourself. A performer owes you nothing except his performance. He doesn't owe you anything about his personal life.
But it must be so hard to turn down some of the money, no? People are saying, as you were saying, $1 million, like Barbara Streisand. You get $1 million, Jackie, if we can film in your house for a week.
There's a limit to what I would do for money.
Yeah.
What if somebody said to me, take your clothes off for money? I don't think I would show them my body for money.
Well, you're just depriving the whole world, Jackie. That's very selfish.
I don't want people to get that excited. People are liable to get heart attacks looking at me. I don't want to destroy all of humanity just because they want to see it.
Well, we've got a question now, Jackie, from Corey, who says, Jackie, answer me this. And actually, this reflects a lot of our listeners' interest when we said you were coming on the show. They're very excited because of this. She says, had you ever seen The Simpsons before you were on the show? Because, of course, they know you as Rabbi Hyman Krotowski, Krusty's father.
As a matter of fact, I never saw The Simpsons before I was on the show because I never watched a cartoon show in my life. But I never watched one of those cartoon shows. I never watched a sitcom. I did all kinds of shows, but I never watched the shows. I did a number of movies, but I never watched the movies. I did a movie called Caddyshack 2. Was a major hit, but I personally never even saw the picture.
Why? I mean, because you must be interested in films that other people are in.
Well, he knows what happens at the end if he's been in it.
The truth of the matter is I never watch other people's films either. I almost never go to movies.
What do you do to unwind? I know you're going to say this is none of my business, but if you're not watching films, what are you doing?
I sit in lobbies, I watch how people behave. I walk the streets and look at people. My greatest hobby is watching people, all their foibles, all their characteristics, how people reveal themselves without realizing it. Fascinating to me, just to study people and human behavior. To me, every person is a movie of his own to me. People don't realize how individually different they are from everybody else, how their own personality expresses itself without them realizing it. A Jew doesn't realize how differently he walks around than a Gentile, and I could just see from their body language if he's Jewish.
So, Jackie, what is the telltale sign of a Jew, physically, then?
Well, the telltale sign of a Jew is pomposity. Every Jew feels he's important and he's a show of his own. Every Jew that ever met me, even 30 years ago, gives me an argument if I don't remember him. Every Jew thinks he's such a unique character, and he's such a sensation, and somehow in his own mind, that it's impossible to forget him. No matter if he's repulsive, idiotic, stupid, retarded, no matter what condition he's in, he thinks somehow he's the biggest hit of all time and nobody could forget him.
And also,
and they give me an argument. The same Jew that meets me and tells me he's my biggest fan, if I don't remember him, he wants me to drop dead on the spot. He's more important than the stars, as far as he's concerned. The stars should thank God that he's there, and he thinks he should be the focal point of the show. Only Jews come over to me before a show and say, listen to me, I'll be in the third balcony. I want you to do me a personal favor. My sister sister just came out from Philadelphia. Her foot hurts. Could you mention her foot? By the way, my father's birthday was a week ago last Thursday. Could you please mention happy birthday to my father? And my mother's a little tired. So you say, I hope you feel better and get some sleep. And be only these three things, that's all I'm asking for. Otherwise, you could do whatever you want.
Jackie, you seem a very wise man. So let's hear this question from Gary from Sussex, who says, this year I shall be 50. So Jackie, answer me this. What should I really know by this stage of life?
There's so many things that you should know that I would take 300 shows for me to tell him what he should know. I can't tell him what he should know in one sentence or in one show. And if everything I knew that he should know, I should start telling him, I'd have to open a university and have him go there for 5 years. If in one sentence you could tell him everything he should know, that means I think he's an idiot, because that's all he should know. You should know a lot more than a person could give you as an answer in a radio show.
Now, Jackie, you grew up surrounded by rabbis. Like, your whole family were rabbis, basically.
Right.
And so that was the expected path for you, and you even, you did your first step of becoming a cantor, right?
Right.
So
I was also a rabbi. I practiced as a rabbi for a couple of years.
So what made you leave as a rabbi?
What made me leave is I felt it's unfair to people for me to pretend that I'm as religious as a rabbi should be. I was really doing it to please my father, because I had great love and respect for my father. My father always dreamed that all his sons would be rabbis. I had three brothers before me who all became rabbis, and it was a tradition in our family going back to hundreds of years. And it was like a holy tradition to my father. And I knew it would, he would be heartbroken if I didn't become a rabbi. So I did it basically to please him, even though I knew that I'm not as religious as a rabbi should be, but I felt hypocritical doing it, to admonish people about how they should behave in such a totally religious fashion while I myself wouldn't do it.
Did you used to make jokes in your sermons?
Yes, I always made jokes in my sermons, because even no matter how serious the message is, you could always highlight your point by doing it in a comedy form. Because you could always highlight a point to make it more graphic and more colorful, and at the same time really identify and really emphasize the significance of it with humor. And I began to notice that when I was doing comedy to emphasize a situation, a thought or an idea, I was getting big laughs, and I got so many laughs that before you know it, the comedy was a bigger hit than the sermon. More and more people came to hear the jokes than the sermon, and before you know it, the Gentiles in the area also came to hear.
Is that really true?
That's actually true, because it was a small town, Sheboygan, Wisconsin, and the Gentiles heard about this comedy rabbi, and they all started to come to see me. Before you know it, there was more Gentiles than Jews in the temple.
What was a hit joke?
I used to do this joke in my act, that there were so many Gentiles that the Jews couldn't even get into the building. So what do you think happened? I became the only rabbi of a Gentile congregation.
Well, actually, we have a question that is sort of about theology. It's from John, who says, as a former rabbi, what thoughts does Jackie have on the theory that we are all alien hybrids descended from various ancient alien cultures? And doesn't that theory make far more sense than most modern-day religious thinking?
I have no idea what the answer is to this type of a question. They change the story about these type of things every day. They tell me once the world is 8 million years old, then they tell you it's 2,000 years old. Then they tell you these fossils are 100 billion years old, and they find out there's other fossils that came before these fossils that are 7 zillion years old. Then they say people came from monkeys, people came from furniture, people came through the roof, people came from the ceiling. I don't know where the world comes from and who started what and which theory is right. So I have no time to look into it. I'm trying to make a living. I'll leave this job to somebody else.
Now, I have a final question for you, Jackie, and it's a very controversial one. It comes from Ben in Hatfield Heath, who says, Jackie, answer me this. Chicken soup.
Yes.
Is it a magical healing Jewish grandma wonder broth or a watery stock with overcooked carrots? I think Ben's laid his cards on the table there.
I have no idea what it is. All I know is that it tastes good to me. I'm not a chef, and I don't know how they make it. I've got the slightest idea why it tastes that way, but all I know is that it tastes good to me.
Do you believe in the medicinal properties, though?
I don't think anybody has proven the medicinal properties of chicken soup, except for the fact that something hot feels better when you have a cold. But whether feeling better means that it's actually helpful in any way, medicinally, nobody knows. It's just like massages. People think if you get a massage, it somehow is beneficial medically. But if you ask a doctor, he'll tell you medically it accomplishes nothing. It just makes you feel good. when the person is doing it to you.
Like
it
comedy, makes, Jackie.
It relaxes your body. But that doesn't mean that it serves any medical purpose, because it doesn't.
Well, you're still here and you're in fine shape, and it's basically your Lucozade, so I think that's a good advert for it, no?
The what?
It's your Lucozade.
I don't think that's an American drink.
Lucozade, yeah. What's Lucozade?
It's basically sugar water, Jackie, but they pretended that it was medically effective.
It's like vitamin water, but it tastes even more disgusting.
Oh, is that right? I know nothing about what the chicken soup does. All I know is I think it tastes great. But anything that's hot, it tastes great. Why? That's why people drink coffee day and night. It's not that coffee is such a fantastically tasty thing, but people like to have something hot in their mouth.
Well, kids, that was Jackie Mason himself. If you want to hear more from him, then he's on at the Wyndham's Theatre in London until March the 17th.
And also, there's even more Jackie on our app this week. If you want that, you can download the app from our website, where you can also go to find out the contact details of how to send us your questions. That, of course, as always, is
answermethispodcast.com.
And we'll see you without a septuagenarian Jew next week.
Disappointing when you put it like that. Never mind. But if you add our ages together, we're a sexagenarian Jew.
Yeah, I'll try my best to do my impression. It's not particularly good, but I'll try my best.
Are you getting there?
Yeah, I'm getting there. It's getting better. I wouldn't call it amazing.
But by next week, it might be amazing. So come back then to see.
Bye!
Well, I'm glad to answer all these questions. But Helen and Ali are the people that you should really ask the questions to, because I can't be here all the time, and I spoke to them. I found they're exceptionally intelligent people. I don't know if I believe it myself, but they told me that. I'm quoting them, and if they think so much of themselves, maybe they're right.